Now turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to be reading the first 5 verses. Next week we will finish 1 John, turn to more Christmas-oriented sermons after that. But this is a very important section in John's epistle. Have you ever had an experience like this? You have totally misread things, misunderstood things, even though it is obvious what the answer is. Now, here's something I did the other day. I was on the phone, talking away, and all of a sudden, while I'm having this conversation, I'm saying to myself, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Oh, I'm on the phone. Okay? Ever do anything like that? Or my other favorite is, I've got my glasses up like this, and I'm asking Jan, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? On your head, Jerry. All right, we can misunderstand things. And today what I want to look at is a passage of Scripture, and it's not hard to understand, but it's dealing with who we are in this world. We're the victors. Hard to think about, but that's exactly what this passage says. Let's read what God's word says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is the love of God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of his holy and inerrant word. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'll be with us to illuminate our minds so that we not only understand what you are saying to us, but that we have confidence in you. Be with your people. Be with your church. Amen. How many of you would feel like you are a world beater? One of the victors in life. You have achieved something. You are the champions of the world, in the words of Freddie Mercury and Queen. How many of you would say that's how you feel? Well, I'm going to tell you, most of you probably don't feel that way. And most of the time, I don't feel that way. As a victor, as a winner, I have not won the lottery. And certainly my experience is not like people who we would say, well, they are the winners. For example, there was a Korean mathematician. And I love this story, especially for school teachers, because when he was in Korea, he failed his math courses. In fact, he barely made it into college. And even in college, he still failed. Got F's on his report card. Graduate school, the same thing. And finally, he got into a PhD program in America, only, I think, one university, and it was not a very high-ranking university, accepted him. But guess what happened? He was able to figure out some mathematical equation which no one else did. He now teaches at Princeton. Well, that's an overcomer. That's a victor. Or take, for example, a student that showed up at our Florida virtual school meeting in Orlando. The child's mother made some lousy decisions. She traveled all the way to Connecticut to marry a man who promised her everything. That turned out to be a lie. She wound up selling drugs. For this child, there was no food. A lot of times they were cold. But do you know what happened to him? He got involved in swimming, thanks to a friend. And recently, he was part of the state championship relay team and now has a college scholarship to study business. Now that's a victory. That is someone who has made it in life. But when we look at what's going on in the church, do we feel that way, that we also are the victors? I mean, the world looks down on us. We're backwards. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. But yet, John says, you are the victors. Oh, the world may reject you because you believe in the supernatural. The world may say, oh, you're a bunch of fuddy-duddies because you believe in morality. They may reject you, but listen to what Paul says, or John says. You're the victors. You're the ones who have overcome the world. And one day, you are going to be known as the victors in this world, not the despised anymore. So this morning, what we want to look at is, why would John say that? That you are the victor. What does he mean? How can we be the victors, you say? Well, let's see what God's word says. And the reason we can say that we're the victors is because of faith, belief. Now, most of you would say, well, that doesn't sound very victorious. We need cold, hard facts. We need reason. But listen to what the Bible says in verse 1 about faith. In fact, the verses I read begin in faith and they end in faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We can go down to the end of it and notice what it says. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that is victorious? Only the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is the victory, as the hymn says. Faith is the victory. Why is it the victory? Because it shows that God is at work. The sovereign God of the universe, the Lord of all, has decided to work in your life. And notice what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, it may say something a little different. The tenses may be different, but it's telling us that we have been born of God in verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. What it's referring to is the new birth, regeneration. God sends the Spirit into our hearts to change us so that we love God. Remember what John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. What does Jesus say? You must be born again. And later goes on to explain it's the Spirit that is working in you. Theology textbooks, we call it regeneration. Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. He changes you so that even though you're a sinner, you desire Jesus and you are willing to trust in Him. You go back to the Old Testament. What was the covenantal promise? Israel was like a valley of dry bones, and God says, I'm going to send the Spirit to give you life. That's what it's talking about here, and that's what Jesus is talking about. We can also look at other scriptures which say the exact same thing. For example, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, listen to what God's word says. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Your faith is victorious because you have been marked by God. God has worked in your life. And when we talk about faith, you may still be struggling. Well, what does that mean? Faith means that you trust or you rest in Christ. Let's put it this way. When I had to fly to Orlando, I took Southwestern Airlines. Do you know what type of aircraft they use? The 737. Heard anything recently about 737s? Oh, that's the one where the door flew off and, you know, they had all sorts of problems. It's the one that they had all these crashes. Now, as I get on the plane, I pull out the little thing, 737-800. Oh my, that's not good. But did I continue on? Did the other passengers continue on? Yes. Why? Because for some reason we had faith it was going to work out all right. That's what faith is. Even with some occasional doubts, you are willing to trust in God that everything will work out according to His timing. And He specifically says, your faith is the victory. And once again, why does that make us so victorious? First of all, you see life correctly. You see Christ in all things. He is the Lord of life. You see Him as your Savior who is willing to die for you for your sins. What does it mean to be a Christian? You have faith in Jesus Christ, who took away your sin on the cross, who died for you, and no one else in this world will do that. It means that you can approach God, and most of all, that faith leads you to the new heavens and the new earth. Non-believers don't have that guarantee. It is no wonder. In the Bible it says, our faith is the hope of glory. The glory that one day will be revealed. That's the victory we have by faith. That's the victory that we need to understand and see ourselves as. The victors in life, because faith has marked us for a new era. There's a television show, I've mentioned it before, Ted Lasso. I'm not saying you should look at it. There's some questionable language and questionable ethics in it. But he's a coach. And on the locker room, there is a sign that he wrote in pen that says, believe. Same for us. You gotta believe. Winners believe. And it is no wonder we sang that hymn, faith is the victory, because by it we overcome the world. It's part of the reason you're a victor, your faith. But also notice what that faith leads to, which also means you have been marked by God. It's your obedience to God. You know, that word victory, it's used in Revelation 2 and 3, which talks about the struggling churches. And it tells them, you continue to obey God, you're part of the victorious crowd. All the world rejects you. You are torn by strife and false teachers, but continue in the ways of the Lord, you're the victor. He's talking about obedience. And look at what it says here in verse 2. It tells us this is how we know that we love the children of God. Love is part of the commandment. By loving God and carrying out His commandments. And then in verse 3 it says, in fact, this is love for God. To keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In some of your Bible translations it will say, not oppressive, not irksome, not grievous, not hard to keep. Now remember, the Pharisees, what did Jesus say about the Pharisees and all the commandments they came up with? Jesus says in Matthew 23, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders so that they are not willing to lift a finger to help. And then Jesus later says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's basically saying it's joyful to follow the Lord's commands. Why? Because following the commands of Jesus is not mere legalism. It's not mere behaviorism. It has to do with your heart, that you love God. And because you love God, you are willing to follow Him. What you love is what you do. If you don't love it, of course doing something is a burden. Now let me give you an example. Oh, back when I was in high school, that's when I started running. And I got to tell you, the first couple of times I ran, I think I liked it. Oh, I hated it. I hated to go to track practice. You know, Coach Thomas would be down there, well, we're going to run 20 quarter mile intervals today, boys. Oh, I hated that. But then after a while, guess what happened? I started to like running. Now, I'm not one to go out and run marathons. It's a bit much for me. But my 20 or 30 minute run, I love. I love getting out in the cool weather. I love the way it makes me feel. What changed? Started to love running. Went from hate to love. Let me give you another example. Growing up, I used to have food forced on me, which I could not stand. Oh, there were lots of them. But one of the ones was cabbage. I could not stand cabbage. You know, and I was one of those, I was brought up in the hospital. Well, you got to try just a little. Okay, tried a little. Well, after a while, I tried a little more. A little more. And then after a while, I started to love cabbage. And I remember somebody brought cabbage one time to our family refresher. Oh, I went back multiple times. Why? What changed? I fell in love with cabbage. That's what happened. What you love is what you will do. Obedience in the kingdom of God is not mere obedience. It's done by love of God. And yes, it's victorious. You say, why is it victorious, Pastor? Doesn't that mean I'm just an old-fashioned person? Once again, a fuddy-duddy? Now, let me tell you why faith is victorious. When you look at the world today, and you see everything that is going on by people who do not obey God, are they having such a great life? No. They have miserable lives. Oh, they may tell you on social media how great it is. Now, all that philandering in the end doesn't equal happiness nor fulfillment. Oh, they may have cheated their way to the top, but they're not happy. They may take all the drugs that they can get their hands on, and it's killing them. And I've seen that, where their life is passing away. But if you're a Christian, what God has commanded you to obey is actually very good for you. It works. It is the design for human beings to live fruitfully in this world. That's why we're the victors. Oh, it may seem we're not, but once again, our obedience is like a medal that you got from, let's say, a war. Now, it doesn't save you, but it does show who you are and what you are into, which is the kingdom of God. Obedience is the victory because you are not caught up in self-destructive habits. And yeah, the world is caught up in self-destructive habits. I want you to think of what's going on in Pensacola with the abuse of drugs, with the killings, with the number of people who have wound up in jail because of violence. That's not good for you. That's not how God wants you to live. And you ask any true Christian, are you happy with your life because you're obedient? They're going to tell you, yes, they are, because it has saved me from a lot of grief and a lot of misery. You have confidence before God that you are accepted because you're following His ways. So let me ask you, you overcomer? World beater? But you say, I don't have a gold medal. You got something better. You got the obedience of God. That's why you are an overcomer. That is the mark of victory. And when we think of that obedience, which is victorious, He tells us it is connected with our love for one another. Now, we've talked about that before a lot in John, because it's in John a lot. Seen it in previous sermons. I mentioned it earlier in our obedience to God. But it's also a sign of our victory, because it is an outworking of your regeneration in Christ. You're going to love one another. It's a sign of the grace of the Spirit upon you. And I want you to think about what went on Wednesday night if you were there. You have a group of Methodists who basically are refugees because they're going to get kicked out of their church by a mainline liberal denomination. And we got together and it was a good time. There was a common purpose. You could see people on both sides who loved the Lord and their church. You're not going to find that in the world. You're not going to find that in Washington. You're not going to find it in Tallahassee. You're not going to find it in the city hall, but you will find it in the church of Jesus Christ, where those who are hurting can come and find not only the love of God, but the love of one another. You are going to be a victorious church if we practice love for each other and for other Christians. Yes. Said that we're on the wrong side of history because of our beliefs. Mm-mm. We're not on the wrong side of history. We're on the right side of history. Because we know that God is with us. We see God present in the lives of you all who have come together to support this church and to believe and worship together. Faith is the victory. Obedience is the victory. Love for one another is the victory. Once again, let me ask you, do you feel like a victor? Do you feel like a world beater? An overcomer? Or do you feel like the downtrodden, the mocked? Do you feel like everyone is saying no to you? But listen to what the Bible says. It says you are the victors because faith is the victory. Obedience is the victory. Your love for God and each other, that's the victory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you will continue to be with us in this church as we face some new challenges, new beginnings maybe, but please work with us. And even if things work out or don't work out, we're still the victors because God is for us. Hear our prayer today. Amen.